What do you preach your last sermon on? What do you preach your last sermon on? Well, as I was preparing and reflecting on my time here at St. John's and for this talk, I read an article, and that article was titled "The Death of Gratitude." And in it, a man called Stephen Furtick says this. He says, "You can't be grateful for something you feel entitled to. You can't be grateful for something you feel entitled to." And it really cut me to the core. And it's true, isn't it? I've no clue what you feel that you might be entitled to. But what do I feel entitled to? Do I feel entitled to a car, a house, future kids, or a spouse someday, a job, friends? What about a successful ministry? What about a coffee in the morning or a beer in the afternoon? Not that I'd feel entitled to that, but you might. Sinful. No. What about church? Do you even feel entitled to have a church that serves you phenomenally well? What about your next breath? All I know is, whatever I feel entitled to, we won't be grateful for. And so when I was writing this talk, when I read this quote, I just stopped. And for a decent amount of time, I just started focusing on my breathing, and I started going, "That one was a gift. That one was a gift. I didn't deserve that one. That's a grace from God. Thank you for that breath. I didn't deserve that one either." Just breathing in and out, just going, even that breath is a gift from God. Even this one. I know, at least for myself, when describing myself, I wouldn't describe myself as a man of great thankfulness, unfortunately. Because I don't think I'm very good at being thankful. I realized this recently when I was lying in bed. And it was raining and it was cold outside. And I prayed, and I was thanking God, and I was thanking Him for the warmth of my bed and for the safety of the roof and security from outside. And so I was thanking Him for that. And then it suddenly occurred to me, how often have I prayed that prayer? Not very often. It's definitely not an every night sort of thing. How often do I pray and thank God for His blessings to me? In a warm bed, in the form of a warm bed or a safe roof? How often do we quickly pray for something when something is wrong, but we're quite easy to forget to thank God when He answers that prayer? I don't know, you might be better at this than me. That's quite possible. But that is my story, at least. And I think here in the West, as a culture, we're very good at recognizing and diagnosing a problem, but we're not very good, and we struggle to be thankful when life is going well and the blessings that we have. I think as the West, our culture, unfortunately, has that issue. Now, my aim isn't that you might feel guilty for how you're doing with being thankful. But my aim is that you might be blown away. You might be blown away and struck by the generosity that God pours out on us, and that we might see how vitally important thankfulness actually is to walking with Him. And that it might be a vicious spiral of great joy, and that we see more and more things as we become more and more thankful, and we find more and more things that we might be more thankful for. Because we're more aware of it. And that we might be more amazed at God and how He looks after the lowly. Psalm 138 is one of those psalms which, as I have been preparing my talk, every time I've read the text, I've just been like, just feeling the heart of the psalmist. And I've been like, this is such a good text, such a good text. And it's one of those texts which I feel like I just want it to be read out, and that anything I say afterwards will not do it justice, or will be insufficient And so I'm just going to go through the text and we'll just see how we go. And I hope you are blown away by it as much as I am. That's my prayer, at least. I feel like I needn't say anything. I feel like I could speak about it for a year. Unfortunately, Dan won't give me his time. I already asked him. So I just got my time. We'll see how we go with that. Verse 1. I praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. What he is doing is he's aware. He's aware and he's recognizing that God, you're not God of just a small area. You're not God of just our people, Israel. But you are God of all nations everywhere. Of all nations everywhere, their kings, their families, their communities, their individual people, and even their gods, you are God over them. And what he says is, I will sing your praises in front of all of those other gods, in front of all those other nations, in front of all of them. I will sing your praises because you are a God who is a God of the whole universe. Francis Chan's book, Crazy Love, it's a phenomenal book, well worth a read. But it's a book that the first chapter will throw you off balance a bit. It's a bit shocking. The first chapter is titled Stop Praying. It's titled Stop Praying. And the point that he actually makes is he says, before we come to God and speak, we need to stop and we actually need to recognize who we're actually praying to. And in this first chapter, he quotes a man called R.C. Sproul, and R.C. Sproul says this. He says, men are never duly touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. Men are never duly touched and impressed with a conviction of their insignificance until they have contrasted themselves with the majesty of God. What he is saying here is that we regularly need to stop and almost need to try to picture God. So we need to be going to those passages like Isaiah 6 and the Revelation 1s and picture standing before God, what it would be like to stand before God. I'm standing before you. What are you like? What are you like? And in all of your fullness. Imagine standing before God with all of your fullness and the only words that come to mind, and this is what prayer is, he says, just what pours out is just have mercy. Have mercy. Because standing before the whole magnitude of God, that's all you can cry. And then quickly, when mercy is poured out, and you then realize who are you and who am I, and you see mercy poured out, the next thing is an overwhelming thankfulness and praise of this God. Who am I that he is mindful of me? Verse 2. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. Or as the ESV puts it, you answered me, and my strength of my soul you increased. When I called, you answered me. Think about who God is in that picture. When I called, you answered me. Who are you? Who am I that you would answer me? Verse 4. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord. When they hear the words of your mouth, may they sing the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. All of those little prayers. All of those little prayers. I have prayed some really small prayers in my life. almost pathetically small, and yet God continues to answer them. Tiny, insignificant things that really do not matter, and it amazes me, the God of the whole universe, that He then answers those prayers. Those tiny little prayers. I don't deserve this. I know how often I choose to hurt you. And yet, you answer them. I know how often I fall short of the mark. And yet you, the whole God of the universe, looks upon me and hears me and answers me. I'm thankful that God's grace to me doesn't rest upon my thankfulness and my faithfulness in being thankful as a response. I'm thankful that His grace to me is free and unmerited. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, verse 7, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand. Let me make three quick points before I finish. Firstly, as I hope you've seen, that thankfulness is simply the only proper response to God. The whole story of the Bible, is a story about a God who goes, let me give you this, let me give you this, let me give you this, let me pour out myself, even though you don't deserve it. Just be thankful. Be thankful. Let me pour all of this into you. And then what does God ask of us? All God really asks of us is to be thankful. To be thankful. Thankfulness is not a small doctrine. It's not a small part of the Christian life that I think I'm tempted to picture it as. Really, it is the only right and major response to God. The second thing that I want to point out, and this is the second and the third, is I want to talk about why thankfulness is actually a weapon against sin. How thankfulness is a weapon against sin. My first point is this. I think thankfulness combats bitterness and anger. Thankfulness combats bitterness and anger. I've found those times when I feel negative or angry or frustrated with a person, I am convicted to pray for that person, and in thanking God for the different things in that person, is almost as if the bitterness and anger cannot be in the same room as the thankfulness. For quickly, the thankfulness for the ways God has gifted that person or the blessings that they have been in my life, quickly overcome my negativity or my bitterness towards that person. Secondly, thankfulness combats greed and temptation. This guy's name is extremely hard to say, so I shouldn't just change his name, but I won't do that. His name is Tullian Chavigian. And he says this, for the Christian, beneath every sin is the failure to believe that everything you need, you already possess in Jesus Christ. For the Christian, beneath every sin is the failure to believe that everything you need, you already possess in Jesus Christ. By remembering to be more thankful, sin becomes less tempting. Sin becomes less tempting because we are reminded. It is combats greed in that greater thankfulness leads to greater contentment, which leads to then greater generosity. And it goes back again. Greater thankfulness leads to greater contentment, which leads to greater generosity. Which ultimately leads to a greater joy in God. You can't be grateful for something you feel entitled to. That has been my conviction. And so, friends, I'm so, so thankful for this church. I'm so, so thankful for the ways in which older men in this church have got alongside me. I'm so, so thankful for the ways in which those of you who have encouraged me, who have said that they're praying for me, those people who are just absolute prayer warriors, and you know them in the church, those people who are always serving, and they seem to be doing everything, and so you wonder, like, why they don't have massive beards, because how could they have time to shave, because, let alone even go home, because of all the service that they're doing. I'm so, so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for those of you who pray or who serve and yet nobody ever knows it. I'm so thankful for those who have chatted with me one-on-one about hardship, about struggles, about joys. I'm so thankful for those of you who have supported me financially. And I'm so thankful for this church, for the people in it, for the staff members, and for those of you who have made me more like Jesus. So thank you.